Hi, I'm Georgina Hudson from GeorginaHudson.net. This podcast has been created to support you in your path of self-awareness and well-being, and to draw a roadmap together that can help you align mind and heart. Today's topic is how to set New Year's resolutions effectively, authentically, and with an abundant mindset. We hear a lot about abundant mindset. We're going to clarify what it is. For more information about what I do and about me, you can visit my website on GeorginaHudson.net or my Instagram account, GeorginaHudson.coach. Welcome to the first episode of the year on our podcast.
Yay!
I have Luciano here. As I shared with you on my Instagram last week, we couldn't get to the point where we could sit down and record. So we are very excited to be doing this today. We're going to talk about a topic that's on many people's minds at the start of the year, and it's how to define our goals for this year, 2025, in a powerful and authentic way that is effective and which resonates with us. And the beginning of a new year always fills us with so many expectations, and it makes us think about personal transformational goals. I mean, this is like a blank sheet. We've got a new book where we want to write so many beautiful objectives. And we might want to learn that new language we've been putting off for ages, or we might want to go to the gym more often, or we might want to start meditating every day or lose weight. You know, I don't know what's on your mind. But have you ever stopped to ask yourself why so many of these beautiful goals fail to be realized so quickly? Why does the inspiration fade away so soon, even if the goals themselves are great? Because who doesn't want to meditate every day, right? The problem is that we often set out for these goals from a place of insecurity, from a place of frustration, or the belief that we are not good enough as we are. More on this quickly, but before continuing, let me welcome my co-host Luciano.
Hello. And yes, I have questions, but first I want to share with everyone listening that in this episode's description we are including a bonus gift, which is an amazing exercise that Georgina wrote for Psicología and Mente magazine. It is a complement to what we are going to discuss today.
That is, if you read in Spanish. If you don't worry, because what we're going to discuss today is going to be a lot. We're going to give you plenty of information. Now, in Spanish, and you want to supplement this and you want to reinforce...
Go for it. So, my question is, why do you think this happens so often, Georgie? Could you explain more about setting goals from a place of insecurity, frustration, or the belief that we are not good enough?
Mm-hmm. It's a very good question, and I'm sure many of you are asking yourselves the same. When we start from a place of lack, we feel there's something wrong about us, something that needs to be fixed or improved, because we are not good enough or okay just as we are. And this implies acting from a place of resistance and a lack of alignment with our true essence, which is abundant. It's like trying to fix something that is broken or that needs external validation, or something to fill an internal void. Are you following me?
Yeah, listen to the words you mentioned, resistance, lack, something that needs to be fixed, something that is broken.
Yeah.
If you pay attention to the words, those strong. Are words I don't want to be in that place.
I know.
But so it's like, instead of setting a goal to, for instance, to stop procrastinating, instead of setting a goal to stop procrastinating because you feel lazy or inefficient, if that's your starting point, instead of that, you set it as a desire to become someone who enjoys organizing their time and feels fulfilled when completing tasks, which is a completely different point of view.
Exactly. That's it. It's about setting goals from a place of love and abundance. And when we talk about abundance, we're not talking about material abundance, even though you might set out to save more money this year or be more organized with your finances, which is fantastic and great. But when we talk about abundance, we talk about living from the overflow, you know, living from a place where we know we have so many resources, insights, and the resourcefulness to do what we want. Not from fear, not from doubt, but from the belief that we can do what we set out to do.
But if you feel frustration, or you feel you're not good enough, or you feel all these emotions, it is also a good thing, because it is a starting point.
Yes.
It will raise a question.
Yes.
You know, and it will start a movement. So it is something good.
Yeah,
then
but
you
the
need
question
to reframe this, but it's something good.
Yeah. Mind. Sorry for the interruption, but the question is not to start, you know, setting off or setting out for that objective, purpose, you know, New Year resolution that we have, like zombies.
Yeah.
You know, without thinking about those frustrations.
Those feelings cannot, those emotions cannot be the foundations of your new you.
Exactly. Right? Because if they are the foundation, then we're never going to pass more than a month. You know?
Exactly.
And so imagine if instead of seeing those goals as a way to fix something, we viewed them as an opportunity to expand, to evolve, to become better, to grow, changing the approach from I must or I have to or I need to a deep I am. Not only shifts how you approach goals, but also changes the results. That's what I want to explore today with you, Luciano. Transforming guilt into intention and fear into power.
Oh, I like that. I love that. Transforming guilt into intention, you said, and fear into power.
Yeah.
Lovely. So it's like giving ourselves, for instance, permission to grow without the pressure to be perfect.
Exactly.
You know? Or without the pressure to meet some external standard. After all, our brains respond to the emotions we associate with goals. If we view those goals as difficult or painful, our brains will reject them.
Yeah.
You know, the brain will say, I don't want to go there. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
So there will be a resistance. On the other hand, if we see them as an opportunity for growth, motivation will flow naturally.
Yes, exactly. Remember what Tony Robbins always says. Where attention goes, energy flows. I mean, this is so true, so
it's
true.
So simple and so true.
As simple as that. Yeah. So, for example, and this is very personal, I'm going to tell you some gossip, personal gossip about me during the holidays. So, I had a very strong craving for sweets. Not only sweets, but, you know, simple carbohydrates, you know. I don't have a sweet tooth, but I wanted to eat sweet things, not sweets, the chocolate or the thing. Well, that too.
Sweet husbands.
But with the added stress of moving into our new home, I don't know if you remember that last month we moved into our new home, sugar gave me an energy boost. And I said to myself, okay, no worries. Let's eat this to run or this panettone. Next year, I'm going to start intermittent fasting. And I told you. You might not remember.
Yeah, in January, the solution will be in January.
In January, yes. Now I'm going to eat everything as if it was the end of the world. But the problem was that my mind associated that goal with two things. A, I felt lazy about my nutrition because I felt badly. You know, I was eating my panettone or my sweet, delicious things, you know, Christmassy things. And I felt like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't be doing this. But I want to do it. So I feel lazy. So something is wrong with me. And second of all, I love my breakfast. I love getting up early at whatever time, just because I enjoy having my white coffee with my toast and reading my book for 30 minutes or longer if I can. And also it helps me not feel lethargic. So associating the goal of intermittent fasting in my case was upside down, you know? So if our goals cause us stress, they become a threat. And when that happens, we tend to block ourselves, you know? On the other hand, if we see them as an authentic desire, which wasn't my case, we activate the brain's reward system. For me, fasting wasn't an authentic desire. It was just a quick fix for my holiday sugar cravings.
Yeah, because even if fasting is a valid and healthy strategy, because it could work.
Yes.
You know, it didn't work in your case, but when we see it, it didn't work today, but maybe tomorrow you're right. in another emotional state and it works.
Exactly.
So when we see it as a must or a way to fix something we think is wrong, mm-hmm. like feeling lazy about mm-hmm. nutrition, the brain interprets it as something negative, as a sacrifice.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to sustain something long term when it starts from here.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So that's more or less the idea.
Exactly that. So if I had approached fasting from a real need to make the change, convinced, it would have worked. But instead, I saw it as a quick fix. And when we do something because we truly desire it, rather than feeling it's an obligation, we begin to associate it with something enjoyable and not something restrictive, which is much more sustainable.
Okay, Georgie, I imagine listeners might be thinking, I got it, but now what? No, focus.
Yes.
So what can we do? I'm sure coaching has tools for this, right?
Yes, and not only coaching, but neurolinguistic programming and mindfulness and transpersonal psychology. So we're going to use everything. And step one is identifying the emotional place we're starting from. This is what we have been talking about. And for example, Jen, let's use you as an example. And I know this is not an objective for you, but let's imagine you want to gain muscle. How would you begin? How would you begin from what we said? Let's see if I can elicit from you, because of all we said, how you would start.
Even more muscle. Even more. Is that possible?
Maybe, okay. You know.
So I would, because I would take a moment to reflect on how I feel about gaining muscle mass. Because what emotion come up when I think about it? It is not like I wake up one day and I say, I'm going to draw yellow triangles. It's like something nonsense. No, I want to go to the gym. I want to gain muscle. But what are my emotions behind this? There should be something going on. So that would be the starting point. What emotions come up when I think mm-hmm. about starting this project? It may be at the beginning frustration, anxiety, stress, or even guilt for postponing it for so long, or a connection with my age, for instance.
Yes, exactly. Like and the point here is, and the most important thing here is not to change your emotions. We don't want to get rid of our emotions because all of our emotions are neutral. They're not bad or good. Some are more, you know, some are more likely to produce results, but all of them have messages for us. So instead of trying to get rid of our emotions right away or from the root, we need to be aware of them. And this is where mindfulness comes in handy. Recognizing how we feel allows us to take control of those emotions instead of being controlled by them. This is huge. When we observe our emotions objectively, we can start rewriting our own narrative. And here is a reflective question that I think all of you will like. So you have these emotions in different scenarios. All of you might have your own intentions and your own scenarios. Motivated by something, you want to take action. And you want to ask yourself, do the emotions associated with this motivate me to take action? Or they hold me back?
Yeah, like going forward, or if they stop you.
Exactly.
Know, it's movement or the lack of movement.
Yeah, and I know you, Luciano. And imagine in the past you had decided to wake up at 6 a.m. because you wanted to organize your day better. And this, in a way, because I know you like sleeping. This goal was tied to emotions like stress because, oh my God, really, do I need to get up at 6 a.m.? Or anxiety, I'm not going to sleep well because I know I'm going to have to get up at 6. And doubts about your ability. How do you think that goal would have gone?
If I associated to wake up early, earlier with stress or anxiety, well, I would definitely have kept sleeping every single time the alarm went off. It's horrible to imagine doing something like that because I have, you know, because I have to be more organized. I need to wake up earlier because I must.
But something very different happened to you with the cold showers.
Yes, because I associated with the effect that comes after the shower. But it is a bit, we can talk about it.
We can talk it about later.
Later on, but I associate this with
pleasurable feelings.
Exactly. Not pleasurable at the beginning, right?
But you prove yourself.
But after that, for instance, I don't need ibuprofen, for instance,
exactly.
if I have a slight headache, mm-hmm. and I feel more awake suddenly, it has a positive impact in my body. So I do that because I feel motivated. I have that drive, which makes that easy to me.
And with the example of you getting up at 6 o'clock, which you never set out to get up at 6 o'clock, but this is not about judging ourselves if we feel stressed or anxious or frustrated. Instead, it's just noting what we feel. It's simply observing that setting some goals with a good emotional connection to them is going to be much more profitable, easier, you know, it's going to have a higher impact.
Yeah, and we could add another question to step one, which is trying to identify what's going on inside me. Why? It may seem obvious, right? But let's do this question because it is necessary to do. Mm-hmm. Why do I really want to achieve this? Ask that yourself. It's not about the goal itself, but the motivation behind that.
Yeah.
You know, will it make me feel stronger, freer, going to do the gym project, right? Mm-hmm. More capable or more connected to myself? Because this will give us the energy needed to stay motivated in the long term.
Exactly. That is the key of the question. Step one, so, is identifying what you want, the emotions tied to that goal, observe the emotions, don't judge yourself, and then ask yourself why you want that, you know? Why is your bigger thing?
Good. Noted.
Noted. Two. Step two. Good. Thank you. The step two is focusing on how you would feel if you had already achieved the goal. And this is this is the favorite part of the process for me. And it's imagining you've already accomplished what you desire. And this is fantastic in manifestation, you know, manifesting. And I'm going to invite you all to think about your goal and to close your eyes for a moment and to see yourselves already, you know, achieving that goal, living the goal, living from that place of intention. How do you feel now? What emotions arise? Do you feel more calm, more excited, more fulfilled, more proud, more confident? Do you feel that you are growing personally, professionally, emotionally? Because these emotions are going to become your driving force, not the tangible outcome. And now you can open your eyes. But the work here now is to create those emotions in the present. You know, it's not about waiting to achieve the goal to feel good, but bringing those feelings into the present moment. I always say to my clients, start before you're prepared.
Oh, I really like this approach, because when you truly focus on the emotion, you stop seeing it as a task. Mm-hmm. And instead integrate it as part of your daily experience, the present day.
Yeah.
For example, with the goal of gaining muscle mass, I would visualize myself feeling stronger, more disciplined, and mm-hmm. full of energy, maybe. And I should integrate that emotion in my new me, in my new identity.
Exactly. That is key. Your new identity. So, step three. Shall we move on to step three?
Let's go.
Okay. So, we're going to create micro actions inspired by those powerful emotions. And micro actions is key. We're not seeking quantum leaps. We're going to take one micro action at a time. So instead of focusing solely on the big goal of gaining muscle mass in your case, break it down into small daily actions aligned with emotions you want to experience. For example, if your goal is to gain muscle and your desire is to feel strong, ask yourself, what can I do today to experience a bit of that extra strength? And it's just a micro action. Maybe it's adding an extra set to your workout routine. Or maybe it's adding something new to your routine. You can ask your trainer. Or preparing a protein-rich meal. Or maybe before that, going to, you know, your best supermarket place, whatever you get your food, and getting the protein-rich meal.
Yeah, also implementing anchors or things that you repeat, because your brain will be waiting for them.
And exactly.
That will drive you to continue with this activity.
Like, for example, for me, getting up early, having my white coffee, and then which is decaf anyways, and having my toast and reading my book. To me, that anchor is what I need.
Perhaps your brain is waiting for your book.
Exactly.
And it is a lovely moment, and it is not something painful to wake up early, because there are good things waiting for you.
Exactly. So step four, our last step, is to design a supportive environment. And I'm going to pass the ball to you. Have you got any ideas on how to do that?
Yeah, because when we talk about supportive environment, it could be something that is like a contention, like a net, or when a tree grows, that it needs a stick to where to lean on, mm-hmm. you know, or something like that. You need something else in your context. So, for instance, buy and prep meals in advance to ensure I am properly nourishing my body.
Key.
But I planify. I think about this in advance.
Mm-hmm. And it gives you pleasure because you are moving towards your goal.
Exactly. I do that with happiness. Mm-hmm. I go to a supermarket and I am already at the gym.
Exactly. You're living your dream.
Exactly. Or another could be live my workout clothes, for instance, or my shoes, everything ready every night. So if I am thinking to wake up and go to the gym first thing in the morning, then everything is ready. So my brain goes to sleep already preparing. I am at bed and I am already at the gym.
Yes.
You know? So the environment can also include other people, other humans, you know, just a supermarket or clothes. It could be other people because there are things that are easier to achieve together or with someone else. If you can share your achievements, you can exchange anecdotes, and everything is easier. We said gym, but it can be a study group or a running group or a hiking group.
Exactly.
Or something like that.
Yes.
You know, or as we do, we go to the gym together as a couple. And it's also super fun. So let's recap, Georgiou.
Okay. You are the master.
Four steps. Because everything starts with something you want, suddenly, out of the blue. So step one, identify your initial emotional state. What emotions are attached to that goal? And what I wanted, why I wanted, and reframe these emotions if there is an emotional attachment which you think it is not going to move you forward.
Exactly,
if it is
that,
going to
an
stop
emotion
you.
That is holding you back.
Exactly. Step two, identify your final emotional state.
Sorry for the interruption. Yes. Your desire.
Your desire, yes.
Emotional
it's
state.
like a bridge when you go from A to B. Mm-hmm. So your desired emotional state. How you would feel if you had already achieved that goal. If you already have achieved that goal.
Mm-hmm.
Step three, create and implement. Think about them and implement them. Micro actions inspired by this new identity of yours. Bringing those emotions into the present will let the emotions be the engine of a change.
Yes.
And step four, create a supportive environment. Because if you anticipate obstacles and take preventive action, that will make things easier and also create a support network, because if you do that, or you can share this project with someone else, it will be easier.
Yes, exactly. And little by little, we begin to achieve our goals, our intentions and resolutions. And it's fantastic. And remember, the Psychology and Mind article, Psicología y Mente, really in Spanish, is a bonus you're going to get with an extra activity, which is super beautiful and empowering. And I talk about how to sustain your goals by identifying the identity you're acting from. Who do I need to become to achieve this or that? But I'm not going to be like a spoiler alert here. So go to the article if you can read in Spanish. If you don't worry, we have covered your back. And okay. I think we are more or less at the end. What do you think,
Yes,
Jen?
Absolutely. We will leave the link in the episode description, the link to this article. And as always, we ask you to think of one or two people who might need this motivation, this information, or this perspective shift to achieve their goals and share the podcast with them. Mm-hmm. We appreciate your recommendation, your opinions, and your rating with lots of stars, because that allows us to feel your presence and motivate us to keep offering this content for free, as we frequently do.
And let me say something. A listener we have sent me a message because she didn't know we were doing this for free. She thought we were getting money for our podcast.
Money.
And of course it would be wonderful to arrive at that one day, but we're doing this without that on our mind, without that purpose on our mind. We're doing this out of sheer happiness to offer you some, you know, tools. When I started 5 years ago, the whole purpose was to create community and to be together in this.
You know, I want to record the podcast. Okay, what are your emotions?
Well, the emotions were positive because I wanted to help the people who didn't know what to do or didn't know whether to start coaching or therapy or could not afford a coaching session. So, you know, just in case your presence there and you're letting us know you are there, your messages to me, which I always read, are extremely important. So for the time being, because this is becoming too long, epic hug.